Welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast, we have another packed show in store this evening. As ever on the DL Debate, we're going to round up all the football in Ireland, in the Northwest and beyond. Shortly we're going to hopefully talk to Eamon McGee and Ronan McNamee, two legends of the game. Then we're going to speak with Irish News, Irish Independent, sorry, top columnist, Colm Keyes. We're going to look across the championship so far and what he thinks is coming up on the future. But first of all, lads, sometimes you're flying through Zoom here, Páirc.
I haven't
introduced you yet. Páirc Alfrey's here, as ever. Joe Deggs is producing. Ivan Borland's just away there, the big guy's away, another shift in. Donna Marie, the news. Is that it all covered?
I think that's everybody now, Brian. You've done well there.
Huh? Herself for making the dinner before I left the house.
Anybody else we have to thank?
We have a few fobblers to thank. We'll get to that in a minute. Páirc, I think I made it a couple of wee problems with my Zoom link there. We have somebody on the line here. Who's out there in Zoom land?
Someone to talk football, hopefully.
Who's that coming in on the iPhone there? Sounds like it's a seance here. I'm looking for the gun. Is there somebody there? Yeah. Listen, Páirc, we'll batter on. We were to get Ronan McNamee and Eamon McGee on there, but I think there's a wee issue with the email address. Just we might take a look at it, Páirc. But Saturday evening, the buzz, it just keeps getting bigger.
That was fantastic. Now, I was there, of course, with the kids. And traffic chaos. I think I heard you mentioning this earlier on.
Yeah, it turned out on the Lurgy Brank. Like, I've been coming to games some time, and I've never seen it. I was about a mile up the road when it stopped. Yeah. Normally, you're looking away up the road for that. In terms of look, Joe Dex here. So, are you there? Who's there? Is that Ronan or is it Eamon?
It's Ronan here.
Ronan, good man. Sorry, we had a button malfunction here. My apologies, Ronan. How are you keeping?
All good, man. How are you?
Very good, Ronan. We were just shooting the breeze about the chaos coming into McCool Páirc before we get to anything else. Say, what was your reaction? Did you make the game at the weekend?
I didn't. I was at a wedding in Meath, so it was actually out of town as such. Mammy and the family were all at it, and a few of the higher lads were down at it. Like, but disappointing on our end, obviously. But I had to take it in the chin, didn't I?
Yeah, listen, you had to take it in the chin, I suppose. Ronan, before we even get into the game, that yourself just called time on a brilliant career, you know, culminating in an All-Ireland victory. Was it a tough decision to make, and what's it been like watching in?
It's not the easiest of decisions to make whenever it's been, I suppose, your normal for so long. But I'm getting married in December, and it's just... To buy into it, you need to be all in, and there'd be distractions coming from left, right, and centre regards to this year. So, and it wouldn't be fair. I didn't deem it fair on the lads that would be committing the amount of time they do commit to it. So that's what I was sitting on. Obviously, the body is feeling it to an extent as well. So, just happy with my innings. But this last definitely it's a strange feeling this last lot of weeks, ever since the Cavan game, probably, that you're sort of biting your fingernails and wishing that you were a part of it, because that's been the life and soul for the last 10 or 12 years, so it's definitely a big change.
Yeah, huge change. And of course, the benefit of that often is, I suppose, come back to the club then, and them guys, haven't you, they're full time, and I suppose a lot of people, that's what they think, you know, you called time on a county career, but there's a club there badly in need of your services.
Aye, and it's good to get back. I think it's been my first pre-season since I was about 19, so with the club. So you're obviously away, and they'd be glad to get you back in, and it's nice to get back into, like, where you're back to basics as such, like where you got your chance to play with your county through your club, so it's always nice to get back into what you deem normality as well, you know.
Yeah. And just going into the game at the weekend, what was the feeling in Tyrone? Because I was in Nuddle there, a lot of Donegal people kind of thought, like most of us, it's going to come down to a couple of points. Seemed to be a lot of people's question mark. Tyrone maybe learning from the last day and many ways had the game in the palm of their hand, maybe twice, maybe particularly, you know, when they were 12-9 up and then a point up, with minutes to go. What was your feeling getting into the game about Tyrone's chances?
I was my own personal thoughts were that I was very optimistic of them going in because they had the beating of Donegal in Celtic Park, as you say, two or three times. Obviously, didn't get over the line, and I felt that they would have taken learnings from it, and arguably a stronger squad going into it this time round with a couple of boys back. So I was definitely optimistic as to. No, I know going to Balbofea is obviously it's another factor. And it takes a life of its own at times, but I definitely thought they had enough to get over the line. But if you compare both sides, Donegal learned a lot more from Celtic Park than what Tyrone learned, and they showed it on Saturday evening.
Yeah. Do you concur with that part? Do you think it was a learning curve? Which management took what out of it, or were Donegal boosted them by Ulster and all that came with it then?
Well, suppose if you were a Tyrone supporter, got in there at halftime a point down, you would have been happy the way your side started. You know, had suppose out that right hand flank that did a lot of opportunities. Also had a shout for a goal as well. Canavan, it wasn't too far away. Got a look at it last night again. If that went in, you know. You'd be happy at half time from a Tyrone point of view, and look, the tactical side of it as well. You know, it was just tick for tick, you know. But what it was probably a wee bit kind of, you know, when I look back on the game, just Donegal had a couple of goal chances, and it's not like Tyrone to do that, you know. And suppose going in to the second half, you know, you thought there is more opportunities going to be copped up here. So that was something that I found. Look, I thought Tyrone was going to go very, very negative, you know, 15 behind the ball in that, Brendan. But Donegal copped out a lot of opportunities, and maybe Donegal learned a bit more from that last game. But in the second half, suppose it's where Donegal really did a lot of damage, I thought. From a Tyrone point of view, you'd be scratching your head compared to the first half performance to the second half performance, you know. But as I say, Ronan might elaborate a little bit more on that.
Ronan, see on that first half, obviously seven wides per that kind of chance. Now, Donegal had a few goal opportunities yourself. Were you, I suppose, from looking at it from a football perspective, it was so much more open. I don't know whether the Ulster Championship thing and maybe Donegal Derry game made it, you know, Tyrone sat, they didn't even push up into Donegal kickout. This was more, it had elements almost of league football in it in terms of the setup. Both teams were kind of going after each other, and I thought, even from the throw-in, Darrell Boyle wins the ball. And normally you see it rotated there, Ronan. One team drops back and they go, oh, no. But he just went at Tyrone down the flank. And from the get-go, you could see Donegal were going to run at Tyrone. But Tyrone, many ways in the first half, carved out as many opportunities.
They did. Obviously, didn't take them. But of course, you would have taken 10-9 at half-time. But I still think that the game could have been away from us a bit more at half-time. As well, like the third quarter absolutely killed us, and the fact that I felt that Donegal's running game, the likes of the way Sean Patton sort of came out, created a plus one, and then there was a few cuts, Patter Mogan especially, just got into the wrong side of Niall Devlin and ran him, and another stage you got the wrong side of Kieran McGeary and ran him, and it's hard not to foul when you're in that position of chasing. It's a different story when you're set up and you're facing the fella coming at you with the ball, but whenever you're chasing him, it's a different story. Like, maybe a couple of different calls or a couple of lucky breaks here or there made it change it, but I thought they used Patton well, and they controlled the game whenever they were in the driving seat. Anytime Tyrone tagged on a score, Donegal got it back pretty quickly and added to it. Thought Kieran McGeary was very, very good for us. Kicked three from play, like, but you're trying to pick as many positives as you can, but it's just the way it ended for us. I think we just give up, down tools a bit, like, because I don't think there's an awful lot between the two sides, regards to players. And ability wise, but obviously the belief that Donegal have at the minute, from off the back of a good league campaign and promotion, and then one in Ulster. So, and as each game goes on, and the longer it goes on that they haven't been beat, then God knows where it could end up.
Yeah, and Park, just on that switch, that the way Donegal kind of took over at the end, you know, the fitness of Donegal just seemed huge, and a lot of people were questioning thrown tired from Cavan, the replay into Donegal extra time. And you know, Jim was chatting to a fella from London there, says Jim was over in a fundraiser, and he said, listen, I'm not going to promise anything in terms of honours, but I'll promise you we'll be the fittest team out there. I mean, that's a big claim to make when you think of the elements that get in there, but it certainly did look like there was, you know, there was composure, there was cohesion in that, I think more from Donegal, but certainly it looked like at the end people can sprint at will, you know, with obviously man the match, Mogan and Ronan's mentioned there, McHugh and that drop in the shoulder. It just seems like they were just going and going and going, and someone then was going to break the lines. I mean, again, starting with even Donegal players, you're going to name the whole lot of them, you know, Gallen 7 from 7, but just from last year, break, you know, 9.1, like that's a 16 points swing from the two games. I mean, it's huge, such a different world. Yeah.
Huge, Brendan. Against Tyrone as well, I've so much respect for Tyrone as well as what was done over the last number of years. The players they've come in, the calibre of the setup they have. And, you know, suppose they'll be very, very disappointed. But no, you're right, a 16-point swing. And funny, I was speaking to a couple of lads in London. I know you referenced it earlier on today, but before, I think it was before the Derry match, we had a conversation and Jim was over. And there was a couple of key aspects he pointed out, you know, how fit they're going to be, player performance, you know, kickouts and different things. And that was the one thing that stood out. Fitness was through the Richter scale, you know, on Saturday night, like, you know, because there was a bit of dead heat there as well. But Donegal, as the game progressed, they actually grew, and they grew in confidence. And suppose when you've got the crowd in behind you, Ronnie would probably, and yourself, Brendan, would understand that a lot more, because playing in that kind of cauldron effect, and that whenever the team, suppose whenever you get that, and you're pushing on from player, you're getting excited and you're moving at pace, but you can't forgive the pace of Paddy Mogan. It was fantastic to see the level of hunger that they wanted, and that's what you want from your team, Brian. If you're setting them out, doesn't matter of whatever team is, pure hunger, desire. But the fitness level Donegal showed, and the chances they carved up off the back of that was something that, from a Donegal point of view, is something you have to be very, very happy, stroke proud of. You know that they've done that, and coming into that game, it was a big game for those players. Now, just watching their body language when they came out, you know, as they came out just before the game started, they were all sprinting out. Everyone had a ball, totally focused, ready to go, absolute business. And funny, I kind of had a think to myself, whenever Jim McGuinness and his backroom team came out as well, Brendan, they meant absolute business when they were coming out, you know, sprinting out across, and every one of the backroom team did that as well. That, you know, got onto the crowd fed off that, and the players fed off the crowd. But look, you need to have it in the legs to do it, Brendan.
Yeah, indeed. Then, Ron, just on that legs, Ron, do you see that as being a thing? I know the game is maybe going away from them. The down tools thing, do you think there was a fitness element to that, or was it just Donegal's sheer ability and the ball was going to wear you down?
I think whenever you're chasing, like Donegal comes, like they were ridiculous. And they were going all the time. Like it was like a never ending stream of attack whenever they were at it. Like there was, boy, like if some man needed a rest, another man took up the mantle and went at them. But I feel that whenever you're chasing that and trying to defend it, it takes out of your legs a wee bit more. Whereas Donegal were fit to control it on their terms and make their own chase them. Sat a wee bit deeper, used Patton as a plus one and then created the overlaps. For Tyrone, obviously going off the back of two games that went to extra time. I know they had a couple of weeks then, but you're still trying to get boys back fit. The likes of Petey coming in, Cormac Quinn coming in, and Joe Goose coming in, they all got minutes, but you'll be looking to get them boys. They're all starters, they're all big players for Tyrone, so it's just getting the positive end of getting them back on, getting minutes on the legs, and obviously preparing for what is going to be a do-or-die clash with Clare now, but there's positives to take from it, of course, that you get boys back. But whether the element of them being leggy was the fact that it was just because they were done with chasing Donegal, or if the down tools it had, there's two ways you could look at it. But ultimately, on Saturday, the better side won, and it was up for that.
Ron, would you put that down to coaching, you know, in terms of what you've seen from Donegal, and you're just recently, you know, stepped away from the senior team? Does that, you know, maybe look at ability, we're trying to weigh things up in that. How much of that is just night after night, being coached to play in a certain way, because Tyrone seemed to play in different stages with different people, you know, whereas it seemed to be a real complete team element to Donegal. Would that be your feeling of Donegal?
Aye, definitely so. And as like the belief thing, obviously the belief thing is there, but they're obviously very well coached on all aspects, defensively and on attack. They're defending as a unit, they're all attacking as a unit. They're all have the ability to get up the field and kick a score. They have seriously talented inside line, regards Oisin Gallen and obviously McBertie. The strength coming off the bench. Whereas sometimes I feel that Tyrone, it's just a lot of it looks like a lot of it's off the cuff, regards to where Dara's at it. Like he tends to take the game to the opposition, and it like he's a ridiculously talented footballer, but he's double marked, and he has to work twice as hard to get his moments and get into the game. And I feel that on Saturday the likes of Darton Rury and the likes of Dara and Darren, they're all very alike regards to their playing style, whereas. Like throwing Cahill in might have just, I know that like you're praying that he gets in and brings a bit of an impact to it, like, but I would have went with him for the sake that he just causes chaos and he's a big physical presence and it's going to throw their matchups to an extent, but like they'll obviously they have to take it now and move on with it, and there's bigger fish to fry.
Bigger than us? Sure. There's nobody bigger than us to fry. What are you talking about?
hey, Ronnie, I know you're only up in a hair in there, you know.
He's giving us a wee dig there. He's giving us a wee dig, hey, just I over the border. It, he's close to
we
us.
Have to we've fried far bigger fish.
Good man, Ronan. Ronan, do you know what? Eamon McGee was beyond the night. Eamon, by any chance, are you there in cyberspace somewhere?
I'm here.
There he is.
We can't see you in the monitor. And Joe Dex has been saying, I can't see him anywhere, but just see as he
I'm,
Eamon,
I'm,
sorry.
I'm here the last 10 minutes here.
Do you know, he's so, look at that, Ronan. He's so mannerly. Yeah. There's Ronan saying that we're not a big enough fish to fry yet. Your response to that, well, Eamon, show when you come out.
Listen, hey, until we get to the semi-final or a final, you know, we haven't progressed to that stage since 2014, and until we get up there, then, you know, there's probably he's right enough, and like we've been in a situation where we've come off winning an Ulster, and we just haven't got over the line. I remember being down in Castlebar, just didn't get over Mayo. And, you know, all the signs are really, really positive. Really positive. You know, that performance from Donegal is as good as I've seen in a long, long time there on Saturday night. And the signs are positive. But until you actually go and do the thing, then that's when you talk about respect and you talk about dying at the top table. It's There's no point talking about it. It's still you actually do the thing.
Yeah, and Eamon, listen, just fascinated that you obviously playing under Jim and from your first All-Ireland one or big games. You know, Frank McGlimmer up in the talk night for McCool's there. It was just a wee one compared to your big one, the Mount Errigal. You know, your five-star one. But no, I heard you had a good night, Eamon, yourself and Muggsy, seen a few clips there. But Eamon, that reset, and Frank mentioned something about it at the talk night, just around people were saying, well, the Hay of Donegal, you know, was Tyrone waiting for them. You know, what Jim does in them couple of weeks to make sure you're at that level of performance, you know, from your experience previously with him?
You know, I was just listening to you there. You talked, there's an element, they're in ridiculously good shape. You know, there's no point thinking about getting up and down the field if your body can't do it. So they're conditioned to within an inch of their life. That's down a lot of what Jim does and a lot of what Anton and the lads are doing, the work that they've done. But there's a belief with that too, you know, that the belief that you are good enough to be there. And I don't think last year was a prime illustration of it, that they just didn't, they weren't getting direction within the dressing room, and that inevitably led to, no, there was no direction from the players on the field. And belief is a wild, important thing in sport. And I think, Jim, there's no better man or no better coach instilling that belief in a group. And when you have, I always say this, when you have 15, 20 lads plus all believing that they can compete, they can win in All-Ireland, then it's a very powerful place.
Yeah.
And that's what Jim does so well.
Yeah, and Ronan, just on that now, your own men then, you mentioned like McShane knocking on cycle. Patrick would then at the start of the second half, and I think for that type of element, I know he's done that a lot for you in the past and previously, obviously, I mean, works to good effect, but it didn't seem like Tyrone ever got in a position to actually deliver the ball. It did look like it was that initial kick pass channel inside. It was McCurry or Canavan, you know, weaving, having a go. There didn't seem to be that platform for Tyrone because Donegal owned the ball so much.
Yeah, and it's easy having, you know, to the point you alluded to, you fire Conn in, but when you can't get the ball in your hand, you're not going to make much of it, and you lose him. You lose the likes of his impact out around the middle end because he's got the physical presence and he's a good runner of the ball and low play. So, I like the idea of it, right? But Donegal had it counteracted pretty quickly. They had it matched up before the ball was even thrown in. So the element of the surprise element of it was gone. Like, I don't know if it had obviously got, like, it was well prepared. Jim obviously had it on his list to do things regards to whenever it was and whenever it did happen as to who they were going to throw in and who they were going to pick up. So regards to the surprise element of it didn't necessarily exist. And then to your point that when the ball's in your hands and you're controlling the tempo of the game, then it's a completely different story on Tyrone's tactics then, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Ronan, listen, I know you got to get the club training there, my man. I will not hold you back. You're committed to the club cause. Fair play to you. Hey, I'd say good luck to the poor full forward. It's wrapped up by in the club championship now.
There's a few boys from Balbuffet up standing the pitch here in a high iron with big smiles on their faces.
That's the joys.
I wish I got a shot at you, Ronan. I'm in full forward, you know, these days.
You got a few shots at me down the tunnel in Balbuffet.
That's for an off-air conversation.
All well deserved now. All well deserved.
friendly fire. Hey, listen, fair play. Thanks, Ronan.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ronan. Cheers. Top man there, Ronan McMee. Great player. Eamon, a huge loss to that Tyrone fullback line.
Huge loss, you know, he in terms of his leadership abilities as well, but, you know, just the ability just to blot out an opponent. And Hamsey's probably, you know, doing his best there now, but McNamee, Ronan, was as good a fullback as what's about.
You'd have to say Gallen the last day. You know, sometimes a forward can be his own form a bit, but Hamsey the last day had the clampers on him in Celtic Park. But, I mean, Gallen again. I mean, Eamon, if we're out messing about training, even Parik there, right, and you had seven shots and the seven go over the bar, you think, oh, but this is my lucky night. I mean, the efficiency of that is unbelievable from Gallen.
I feel that there's more in Gallen. You know, that's two great games he's had, and I feel that there's more in him because we look at him in the club championship, and some of the stuff he does in the club championship is just ridiculous. Been double marked, you know, sometimes triple marked, and I just think that there's more to come, and I'd love to see him in Croke Park in that form. You know, when he's in the right mood and he's able to go at it. I'd love to get a look at him in Croke Park now.
Like he's in that category, Eamon, right up there when he hits the peak points. Eamon, this Cork game now, you know, Jim wheeled the boys off the bus like a shot. They got a Garda escort back to convoy for some grub. But it was funny, all the press was standing open mouth.
They were standing there trying to get photographs of the kids.
They took off like a shot. Eamon, that's the focus now. You know, people saying about the pitch and the kids. But listen, we also finally, you won something there. This is a group stage of the championship. It's coming thick and fast, heads on. The right approach, Eamon, because away from home to Cork, you know, there's going to be a kick in them.
Definitely. Focus. I think we've got to be very wary. You know, I was joking around McHugh. I sent him a text. It's the fastest I've seen him move all night, getting off that field there. And we've got to be wary. At the time, I was thinking, I didn't agree, but as you stand back and you look at it, and what's the best thing for the group? You know, they've done their piece, they've done their photos, and they've mixed with the supporters. Best thing was to get off the field, get recovery, get the food in you, and away from all the hustle and bustle, because it says that's only one step in the journey of getting to that semi-final or a final. So it was an important thing. You know, we're all mad to learn from Jim McGuinness and what he's about and what he brings to the coaching and the preparations there. So I thought it was a good call. Mm. We'll go down the road next weekend.
Yeah.
And people are saying, you know, it's a relatively handy 2 points, and I don't see that at all. I think it's a case where Cork will be rubbing their hands together now. At this dot, all the talk is about Donegal, about they've put themselves in the conversation, and we'll come down. And it just suits Cork, and it suits the way that they've gone through this last few years, that people have written them off at times, and then suddenly they put in a performance where you say, Jesus, Cork team are not so bad after all. And we've seen them catch Kerry out in 2021, was it? You know, with that last kick of the game. So they have the ability to do that. They have the ability to catch teams out.
Mm. And do you know what? Just plus, I suppose, even though Patton, you know, his performance and coming out as well, taking that ball, you're going to need that in certain games. Owen Bannon is back now. We just expect McCall every day. I thought, you know, Murr again stepped it up a few notches, just in the energy, and McHugh. You know, all our men around the middle. I mean, Mogan, I mean, unbelievable. But, you know, big Lang in midfield showed more of his brilliance. That I think he hadn't showed us to that level previous. So all these guys now, I mean, different boys are either hitting good or very good each performance. I mean, it's so encouraging for Donegal. You know, throughout the team, everybody's playing mighty stuff.
And I think that's brilliant. What Jim is doing, what he's getting out of, you know, we all know what the ability Niall has. We all know the ability Jason McGee has. But now they're consistently getting that performance in. That's, for me, Niall and Jason have been the players of the championship. Pater Morgan's been in that conversation too. But I'm just so happy for the two lads, especially, you know, Niall and Jason, they're the two lads. And I'm just so happy that Jim has just brought them to the level that we're able to see this day in, day out. And the way Niall grabbed the game, it just blew me away. I actually didn't think that was in his locker.
Mm.
But the way he just grabbed the game in the Ulster final, went, had the shot, you know, went and looked to get on ball. It's just great to see you now.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, but listen, Eamon, great way to wrap it up as ever. Thanks so much. Sorry about the bit of confusion, whatever happened earlier. I'm going to blame Joe Dex for that, and he hasn't got a mic, so he can't respond. So,
no worries.
No, listen, I'll take the blame for that one. Eamon, listen, thanks so much for coming on this evening. Eamon. We'll speak to you as the championship goes on. All right, take care, man. Eamon McGee there, top man.
Would have been good to have a good conversation.
Listen,
I was going to get in there.
There's a lot of stuff even unleashed in those few seconds. Listen, after a break, we're going to speak with Irish Independent columnist, the one and only Colm Keyes. Be back to you after this. Now, folks, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Irish Independent columnist, Colm Keyes. Colm, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, Brendan. How are you?
A life in GA, my man. Meath Chronicle to the Mirror. 21 years with Independent. You've seen some stuff in that time, sir.
I have indeed. You have the bio. Where have you pulled that from?
Oh, listen, I just a quick guy. So you're famous.
Who's doing the research for you?
I have a couple of research team here, right?
You have a large research team to be able to pull that around.
I would like to see you as a young pup with a Chronicle there to see what you were at.
Oh, that's it. I often think I sometimes wish I went into the Chronicle maybe hoping to work for 6 months or maybe a year, and then I thought I'd change to something else.
Yeah.
You get drawn into it, Brendan, of the years, and you get very comfortable and very settled doing something you like, even though you're never going to make a whole lot of money out of it. It's very, very enjoyable, and you get to over 50 years of age, and you don't see any U-turn, I'm afraid, career U-turn at this stage. I'm still at it, and for the most part, still enjoying it. So if you have that in life, I suppose, a bit of job satisfaction, it's not too bad otherwise.
Yeah, well, you say you're certainly great at it. We hope you stay at it anyway. Colm, I was just thinking, you know, to the championship so far and what we've seen, and I suppose the main question on everybody's lips is, have you played basketball before? Because I just, folks, if you haven't met Colm Keyes, he towers over everybody else.
He's a big man, brother.
He towers over everybody else. Tell me, were you a man for a few three-pointers in your day?
No, I did try, but I can't actually jump off the ground, Brennan. I couldn't do it playing football. I couldn't do it in a line-out playing rugby.
Right.
I couldn't do it for basketball. So there is no great athletic gene in me in that regard to climb up. So I stood, I stood and I put my hands up in the air and caught whatever I could. So basketball out. Would you believe it? It's only in recent years I put up a basketball hoop for some of the girls in the house here at the side of the house.
Yes.
And that's when I really started to enjoy throwing it around.
Point guard. I can see it, Colm. I can see it, surely. Colm, we're all buzzed here, Donegal. You know, I know you were covering different games at the weekend and that. Where are we at now, Colm? It's kind of hard to read into it. I'm trying to always gauge the opposition and the games, and such a different game from the two previous, and particularly, you know, very tight, tense, Donegal hanging in. This one, Donegal, you know, second half just blew them away. Where would you kind of rank us now from what you've seen so far?
I have to say, Brendan, I was most impressed with Donegal on Saturday night. Their athleticism, their power in many respects, the skill, the attacking width, the runs they made, it was absolutely relentless. And I think they've put themselves into a fantastic position now to really go at not just All-Ireland quarterfinals, but they can go beyond it. Obviously, there's a big two that are there. And we fell into this trap 12 months ago and thinking it was the most open championship of all in recent times.
Yeah.
Came to the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Kerry did a real number on Tyrone, and Dublin did it in the second half last year. And all of a sudden, it was the old guard, Dublin and Kerry, All-Ireland between them. Now, as it happened, it didn't really turn out that way in the All-Ireland semi-finals because Derry obviously put it up to Kerry very much. And Monaghan hung in for a long time without ever really, I felt, looking like it. So it was left to Dublin and Kerry, and I suspect that's the ceiling this year again. Looking at Dublin the other night, the way they pulled away from Roscommon. I feel them ramping up again now. But I have to say, Donegal have nudged themselves right into their slipstream now, probably with Galway.
Yeah.
Derry were, you know, hovering there for a while. But there's nothing but improvement, as far as I can see, in this Donegal team. They have improved immeasurably from the team that I saw 2 weeks earlier. And just remember, that was a very, very tricky test for Donegal on Saturday night. Repeat fixtures, and I did a piece on this, since the qualifiers came in 2001, they're notoriously hard to get right for the team that won the initial fixture. So Donegal beat Tyrone, albeit after extra time, 4 weeks earlier. I'd say the win percentage for the repeat fixture, for the repeat win in the same season, is about 40%.
Well, yeah,
so those odds were probably, it's a very difficult revenge. Revenge is obviously a big factor.
Especially in Ulster. Especially in Ulster.
Exactly. Yeah. And Donegal put so much, they invest so much of themselves into the Ulster Championship. And I think Jim McGuinness would stress that again and again, that they invest so much of themselves, and obviously, and quite rightly, celebrate it into the Monday, as is their, you know, you can't just, you know, switch off and say, or switch back on again on Monday morning and say, we have to go back at, you know, an All-Ireland series. Now, of course, they went and enjoyed it. So that reduced the time that they had back down to about 12 days to prepare for this. By the time they get down from that and get everything out of the system, it's into Wednesday or Thursday. So they'd be able to build back up and win that game and control it and win it as they did. I thought it was a fantastic achievement and really ominous for those who are in that slipstream with Donegal behind Dublin and Kerry. So you're looking at the improvement in some of the players. You mentioned me being 6'7". I think the commentary team said on Saturday night that Jason McGee is 6'7", which surprised me. I didn't think he was that big, but he looks leaner. He looks better tuned into what he's doing around midfield. I was really impressed with him. And obviously, Pater Mogan has been just blitzing defences with his attacking from deep. Ryan McHugh was back right on cue again after two great performances and then maybe a bit of a dip by his standards, back up again there, controlling the game, running the game. And then Michael Langan. I think Michael Langan is a player I'm so impressed with Donegal for a number of years.
Yeah.
And his skill and control, you know, he'd put you in mind of Brian Fenton in some ways, the way he can pivot and the way he can move around the pitch and the elegant things he can do. So all round, they've great ball players, they've great bit of pace. And I really feel they're improving, Brendan, and they've set themselves up. They go down and beat Cork. They qualify for an All-Ireland quarterfinal. Effectively then, they still have Clare to come in a neutral game. It's one you'd expect them to win. So essentially, beat Cork, and the prize is 4-week preparation for an All-Ireland quarterfinal. that's some prize for the management now and for the players to really go after.
Yeah. And Colm, just in your experience, how you mentioned, you know, the playing ability of Donegal, which is coming to the fore now, but that's coming to the fore because of, you would think, a lot to do with the management and the coaching and especially Jim, you know, taking outside the team, you know, looking at the different managers in that top zone, would, you know, and again, this is, it's guesswork, of course, because it's hard to fathom, but would you say Jim is the best manager coach in the country? You would have to put him at the top of the peak in terms of everyone out there, or what's your thoughts?
Yes, I would agree with that. Looking at it, I would say you have to look at everything relative. And I mentioned Kerry in Dublin, the old guard, always there. You know, they have a path well beaten to the latter stage of the All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. They're well used to it. So structure and order and everything like that, you know, it won't say you take it for granted, but it's there. Quite often it's there and everything, you know, it's almost assumed that it's there. And obviously the coaching has to be of a certain standard for them. And I would think in terms of management and setting out a team, Jack O'Connor would be very, very shrewd too. And, you know, after a couple of indifferent years, and I say that again, everything relative, Desi Farrell has really got control of it too. But you must factor in where Jim McGuinness has now twice taken a Donegal team from the low base where they were. If you remember this time last year, Donegal struggled over Clare in the first game. They struggled over Clare in the first game, and then Derry took them for a few goals up in Ballybuffet on this very weekend coming a year ago. And then they did pick up a little bit, and they beat Monaghan and kicked Donovan, obviously. But look, they weren't in a good place, just as they weren't in a good place in 2010. So to give a vision and to bring something different, and that running from deep, and that relentlessness now that Donegal have brought, and obviously to instill that belief. And he's such a good communicator, Jim McGuinness, that I can just imagine, not just the players, but everybody in Donegal. And there was 17,000, I think it was 17,000 in Ballybuffet on Saturday night. There was 15 in Croke Park. When you think of the percentage population of Donegal and Ballybuffet compared to Dublin, which everybody would assume has the strongest support in the country. Well, they don't, and they haven't, because if you take a percentage of the Dublin population, 15,000 is about 1%, 17,000 in Donegal. I know they're not all, but it's 10%. Yeah, so if you factor in that, you can just see the interest, and obviously everything follows, and people are only too willing to support the team financially, fanatically, all of that. So it's in every conversation now, in every corner of Donegal. And that's back to, and you know, from the despair of last year and spring of last year, especially, and there were obviously other factors there, to be able to lift that. I mean, already, and it's, you know, he's not even a year in place. Obviously, he's not. He's 9 months, whatever it is. Jim is 9 months in place, but the season is only 5 months old. Already, you can deem it a success. I think that was the best Ulster title that Donegal have won, certainly in my memory, maybe back in the 70s, which I don't remember, but obviously 72 had to be a big one. It was the first, and 74 after what happened with Tyrone in 73 and all of that. So they're obviously landmark successes too. But from where he brought them from this time, I think ranks as the best. And I think their performance against Tyrone was as good, is the best that they've had since obviously 2014 when they overturned the Dubs. So a lot of positives and a lot pointing in the right direction right now, including the map that they have set out for themselves. And I was talking to a colleague who told me that they rushed off the pitch into the dressing room, onto a bus and out to convoy to obviously warm down, get the rehab in after the game and get the preparations right for the trip down to Cork. So they are really, there was no holding back this time. There was nothing like that. You know, they were already within minutes of that win, and what a fantastic win it was. They were thinking about the trip to Cork and the game in Cork.
Yeah, a lot of the press were a bit stunned, all right. It was funny after it came. Like, of course, it was a bit awkward to get the convoy net, but listen, they have a job to do, and I understand that. I think a good few tailed them out there.
But I'm sure. But it just shows you, Brendan, the thinking already that look, it's a long way down. You know, it's a long way down from from Cork to Donegal. And I don't know what the logistics of the transport arrangements was, but already they were thinking every minute is going to count for us now in terms of getting ourselves back ready. Because they know the prize. They know win that. You top the group. You top the group and you're en route.
Yeah. Well, even the two games of Celtic Park, Park Halfley's here with me too, Colm and Studio. Even the two games of Celtic Park, they backed the convoy. They must really like the, I suppose, getting away from it all and having all the facilities there. Colm was saying, you know, when you think about that, I kind of thought it was to get them away from it, but he's saying every minute counts, you know, and it's a good point.
Yeah. But he's right, and you know, the shift they put on against Tyrone was immense, you know, and you've got a week, so every minute does count, you know, and suppose when you have that facility in your hand, and they have probably everything there. We know McCool Park, you know, it's limited to what you can do. So, look, it was great planning by Donegal, and let's hope definitely it'll put them in better stead.
Yeah, you used to see the Garda escorts in the way, and you can get them in the way out now, too. That's the shout. I followed the boss as well. I hope they didn't mind. But
Brandon, Dublin would do that, too. Dublin would hop on the bus after a game in Croke Park. If there's something coming up, no into the players' lounge for them. They'll be back out to their base in DCU as well for a debrief and whatever else is going on out there. If they're planning for a game straight away, I mean, back in 2019, was it the dead rubber game up in Omagh between themselves and Dublin and Tyrone? They were onto the bus after that game in Omagh. There was an All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo the following Sunday. And that was a Sunday. So every second, every minute counted there. They actually went back to DCU night, that night to begin the planning. And they landed. That's where they brought the bus to begin the planning for the following week against Mayo. So that's the level it's at. And that's the level that Donegal are taking it to right now as well.
Yeah, good to see. Colm, just mentioned, you know, we're talking about the, I'm sure Colm has a note every year, don't get too excited by the league. Poor August, we forget, don't we? Every year. What was it? Roscommon, Mayo last year, we're getting excited. Then Derry this year in particular, the league final and that. Look at, you know, how do you evaluate at all the league in terms of, listen, you still, I don't, you know, have anything against Derry wanting to win it, but the way they went all out now, Park, looks like a serious mistake from Mickey Hart, you know.
It's a very hard question to answer because
Derry, they can't a cup and they're full team nearly on so much.
Bring the Glen lads down to Kerry that time as well, you know, and suppose it's one of those things, his intent, and Mickey Hart, we know the way that he's always played and he's always gone out to win every competition, but as this All-Ireland series
it's coming
on,
too fast, there's too many games.
It's probably maybe something to look back on, maybe we should have managed a bit better, but yeah, no, your point on that, Brendan, is that they went at it too hard, too long. We've seen Kerry this year, we've seen Mayo normally going 100 mile an hour, get into the league. They pulled back a bit this year, even the Dubs, like, you know. So, look, from
the Derry, Dubs pulled back, but they were still in the final. That's the difference.
Well, that's the other difference. But you look at Derry, I suppose, and their point is that they needed silverware. And, you know, there's some nucleus in that as well, you know.
Yeah, where do you come in on that one, Colm?
Yeah, I think Mickey Hart went to make a statement, obviously. He was a first-year manager.
Yeah.
With the bringing the players to Tralee for that game. Wouldn't read too much into it. Yeah, maybe in the long run might just have been better to ease off. Conor Glass was actually playing against Galway. He was a bit subdued, but Mickey did say he wasn't well in the preparation before and the week beforehand. I think injuries are a factor, big factor here, in that Rory Gallagher went whatever it was 3 years and they scarcely had an injury. And now they're missing an entire half-back line, albeit they should have two of them back this weekend, and they've Garrett McInnes suspended now for what I presume, and I'm not quite sure yet, but I presume it was a two-match ban that Garrett McInnes got for his stamp on Damien Comer. So they didn't really have those bursts of indiscipline either that they had obviously in Galway the last day. So those factors, and you know, we thought maybe their squad was deepening a little bit, but they were without five players. Now Lachlan and obviously Cormac Murphy didn't play the last day either.
The Grogan's so, out, yeah.
You know, the deeper they have to go into the reserve, obviously, I think the more challenged they are. So, look, they're still going to get out of the group. They're still going to, you know, they're obviously up against it now with Armagh, but it's a home game. If they've Conor Doherty and Owen McAvoy back, you know, they have a good chance of winning that. I think they will beat Westmeath. They will get into they will get into a second, third place playoff at the very least, and they'll have a shot at getting to an All-Ireland quarter final. But unlike Donegal, they will have to play for that sequence to play out. They will have to play 3 weeks running. And if you remember last year, it was the teams that topped the group, all bar Armagh, who hadn't the ambition to go and beat Monaghan in the All-Ireland quarter final. But the other three teams, they went straight through. Dublin, Kerry and Derry went straight through because they had the week off and it helps. And, you know, I was down at the Limerick Waterford game yesterday. Now, Limerick were always going to win that in the Munster Hurling Championship. But in the last 10 minutes, Limerick just powered away, as they do. But they were helped by the fact that they had 15 days to build up. And Waterford, who had travelled to Ennis and back to Waterford and back over to Limerick, only had 7 days. So it goes back to the point about going back to Convoy and starting the process straight away. Every second, every minute is counting because the schedule is so tight. And I think the benefit will really stand. There'll be real benefit to those that top their group and go straight through to an All-Ireland quarterfinal. And I don't think Derry will be in that position. And I think ultimately it will catch them.
Yes, indeed. Come just down to the last 90 seconds then, where if you're looking at it, I suppose, you know, is there something, a bounce back potentially from an Armagh or a Derry? You know, Galway, I think, yeah, Croke Park, good, you know, full team back, maybe a lot of guys now, what you call rested throughout the league. You obviously, if you're carrying your Dublins, do you think Donegal can make a semi at least? Where do you think we'll end up?
I can, yeah. I really do think Donegal are all things going well for them, I think. And obviously, depending on the draw, like, you know, but they've shown... You know, they've shown their capacity for repeat fixtures in their ability to beat Tyrone 4 weeks later. Why not Derry again? It's not something, if it is Derry, they should hold any fear of. I do think Armagh will pick up and go again. I thought they'd be sunk after. That was my initial feeling after losing another penalty shootout. But sometimes players can take the initiative here and say, no more. We're not taking this anymore. And they'll go after a game, I think, a lot more. Ultimately, I think Dublin and Kerry will lead out. I think Kerry have, you compare Kerry's run to an All-Ireland quarterfinal compared to what Donegal have been through already. Donegal have played four Division 1 teams of next year's Division 1 teams. Yeah. Kerry won't play a Division 1 team until at least the quarterfinal. So there is a big difference there. And I'm sure they're winding up for a big run there, even though they haven't been scoring goals. Kerry have not scored a goal in the last three games, I think.
We haven't other, but yeah, we've managed.
I know that, and that seems to be that team. But at some stage that's going to turn.
Yep. Colin, you can't forget about Mayo or Galway. Galway sitting in the.
You still have a wee candle for Mayo there, you are.
Well, Galway.
We're out of time here, guys. Colm Keyes, brilliant to chat to you. Hey, keep up the good work in the Irish Independent, top man.
And thank you very much for the invitation, Brennan.
Appreciate
the
best it. Chat to you soon.
Okay. Colm thank you,
Keyes
Brennan.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was Colm Keyes there. Cheers, man. Joe Dex, thank you for producing. We're running out of time here. Park Helferty.
Cheers, Brennan.
Thank you, as ever. And of course, the excellent Monday night sessions. And proud Tyrone, man.
Big Tyrone supporter.
Waving at me. I'll call that a wave while it's through the window.
He was flapping tickets at us last week, Brennan.
Well, thank you, and McGee as well, of course. And Ronan McNamee. I'll speak to you all next week.